Mr. New York, Mark Simone on WOR.
Well, we got a big, big show. Lots to talk about today. We'll get to Mitt Romney, porn star. We'll get to Mitt Romney. We'll get to President Trump. We'll get to Ronan Farrow, creepy Matt Lauer, crazy city officials, totally corrupt. We'll get to Corey Lewandowski and what he's got to say. We'll get to Tulsi Gabbard and Megyn Kelly and a whole lot more. So, as you see, the Hannity interview with President Trump, that was great.
Yeah.
He was excellent.
He's kind of comfortable with Sean, isn't he?
Well, yeah, because he knows, first of all, he's going to get legitimate questions. He knows he can answer as long as he wants. You're not going to, it's not like a Chuck Todd where he'll cut you off after the second word. Chuck Todd accuses you of something, and if you're not confessing on the second word, he cuts you off and tries another question. And he talked about that emoluments clause.
You people with this phony emoluments clause. And by the way, I would say that it's cost me anywhere from $2 to $5 billion to be president.
All right, now that's the comment everybody's friends. Two things there. One is it cost him $2 to $5 billion. Yeah, I'd like to see him prove that he could lay that out in detail, and absolutely he can go into a court of law and prove that. I don't know if it's $2 to $5 billion, but it's about $1 billion to $2 billion at least of lost business, lost revenue, deals that were canceled because of all these attacks on him. People who were afraid to do business with him. You know, look right down the street, right over there, the Trump Soho Hotel. You remember that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not there anymore. they lost that deal because of all this. So you could easily, without blinking, find $1 billion in lost revenue and probably $2 billion. Here's a guy worth $3 or $4 billion still. And on his financial disclosure forms, you can see last year, 2018, he made $434 million personally. You think he really needs the extra $22,000 from a hotel room somewhere in Washington? Now, here's what he means. This is, everybody's picking on me. What did he say?
You people with this phony emoluments clause.
So everybody jumped in saying, phony emoluments clause, right there in the Constitution. He's insane. He thinks it's phony. It's right there in the Constitution. That's not what he meant. What he meant was, and he's been informed of this by attorneys and experts, nobody points this out. This is where you really are held prisoner by fake news giving you nonsense. It says right in the emoluments clause, it does not apply to existing businesses when you take office. It doesn't cover existing businesses. And you know, we've had five presidents that would have been put in jail if it did cover existing businesses. Including George Washington. You know, he had a huge plantation, and it continued to operate when he became president. And one of their main things they sold was tobacco. And this is while George Washington is negotiating tobacco prices around the world.
Well, let's impeach him.
So you could even get Obama, because Obama had written a best-selling book. And while he was in office, book sales went up. And he remember he would release his tax forms, and he made $400,000 as president? Yeah. And $1 million off book sales?
That's nothing wrong with that.
So, but there are five presidents who had pre-existing businesses which continued to profit while he's in office. Emoluments clause does not apply to pre-existing businesses. And you notice everything is written so congressmen are exempt.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
And they can inside trade if they'd like.
Congressmen are allowed to do insider trading. Nancy Pelosi, there was a 60 Minutes expose on how much insider trading she did. At one point. And they can find out about who's going to pass the drug test, what law is going to get passed that would change a business. So they can really do some insider trading, and they're allowed to do it legally. They're also allowed to profit off their job. You know, Bernie Sanders wrote that book and made, $2-3 million off that?
Mm-hmm.
This is while he's in office. Well, how are you allowed to do that?
No emoluments clause.
You know, Bernie Sanders was broke when he took office. He now has three very expensive homes. He's buying a fourth home. This is while he's in office. Look at Harry Reid. Broke, goes into office. When he leaves, he's worth $55 million. How do you like that? And you could give 100 examples of that in Congress. So, again, emoluments clause does not apply to pre-existing businesses. Doesn't apply. What's the other thing he said here?
You people with this phony emoluments clause. And by the way, I would say that it's cost me anywhere from $2 to $5 billion to be president.
He may actually be able to put together a lawsuit against all these fake media people that they cost him $2 million. He could sue for damages. I know he's talking about some lawsuits. seriously suing some people. It's not the right moment, but suing Adam Schiff and suing some other people. You're not allowed to sue anybody for anything they say on the floor of Congress. But there's enough video of Schiff on television shows saying this stuff. And I think at some point you're going to see some actual lawsuits against these people. And I don't know who defends them. Is it somewhere in their job that the government has to pay for their
defense? I'm sure.
Yeah, knowing, you know, if not, they'll pass some legislation. Like Cuomo at 2 in the morning, some legislation. Government pays all their legal expenses. So keep an eye on that. The Doral deal, did he talk about that? Yeah, I guess he did somewhere.
But yeah, he said he would have saved the government money.
Yeah, there was no possible profit there. You know, when you hear about the Saudi rulers, when they came, they stayed in the Trump Hotel. All that money is turned over to the Treasury. Anytime any government, anything, foreign government, anything stays in a Trump property, the money is given to the U.S. Treasury. So he can't possibly make a profit. And, again, it's cost him a lot of money. You know, just on Mar-a-Lago alone, I gave you the numbers the other day. I forget what the numbers were, but it was something like Mar-a-Lago made $100 million a year, and then since he's been president, it's like $40 million a year. You know, that one of the reasons Mar-a-Lago was so profitable, one thing he did when he bought it, he built an enormous ballroom outside in a separate building right in the back of the property, and all the big charity events in Palm Beach. And that's all they do the whole season from like November to March. This is all they do, is throw big charity balls. And for a club to have a ballroom like that's where you make a fortune. You can do like 30, 40 million a year in just that stuff. So when he got elected, all the balls canceled and went to the Breakers or somewhere else. So that's an example of how much money he lost. I mean, I went through it the other day. The Doral was at $120 million a year profit. It went down to $70 million a year. So he's lost a lot of money on every property as a result of all of this. So, but and the Trump, you know, when he opened that Trump International in Washington, the reason he built that, it got some nice hotels. You know, you ever stayed at those?
Yeah, they're all right.
The Hay Adams and the Willard. And I mean, these are nice hotels, but they're really old, old. I mean, you expect, you know, John Foster Dulles to walk in the lobby at any moment. They're old Washington hotels, and none of them have big ballrooms, and that's where all the money is. That's one reason he built the Trump Hotel in Washington. They needed a big, splashy hotel, and they needed a massive ballroom for events. So, and when that opened, all the travel agents told me that maybe the finest hotel in America. They'd never seen anything that good. Then he gets elected president. Suddenly it's a dump. It's horrible.
Can't stay there.
Can't stay there. So if you, that would be hundreds of millions in lost business. He could actually at some point sue all these fake news outlets for costing him all that money. So let's get to Mitt Romney. Okay. Now, you know, he had a fake Twitter account.
Yeah.
And, how did he get caught? I'm trying to remember. Somebody figured it out. Somebody got onto this account and started watching it and noticed it was so pro-Romney. And I forget how they exactly figured out. They started to study who he was following. They eventually figured out it was Mitt Romney somehow. And then went and confronted Romney, and he confessed. He didn't want to lie. And he said it's him. He said he created this fake Twitter account so that he could go online and follow lots of people and keep an eye on the general conversation, what people were saying, without being noticed.
Sure. Yeah.
Now, for instance, President Trump has another Twitter account or two that he uses to follow people, because a lot of people, he doesn't want to put his followers on his real Twitter account, because he, as he said, they will then get harassed like crazy. That's why there's only 40 people he's following on the official Twitter account. And it's like Don Jr., Eric Jr., Doral Internet, those kind of things. So I can understand that. But, you know, maybe you want to follow some people. That's 100 people. Romney seemed to be following like 1,500 people. And he was getting into conversations with women and stuff. There's a woman named Jennifer he's going back and forth with. I understand you want to follow the conversation. That I can understand. Sometimes, you know, I have to go on Twitter, just see what people are saying. I read through comments. But why is he talking back and forth with these women?
And they didn't know who they were dealing with?
Well, that's the thing. He used the name he used on Twitter was Pierre Delecto.
Pierre Delecto.
All right. Now, you're telling me that this is just by chance he picked some porn star name?
That's a dead giveaway.
Pierre Delecto. This is Carlos Danger. This is what these perverts do online. You're telling me he just said, let me come up with a fake name. Nobody on earth would come up with Pierre Delecto. I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
Irving Cohen, Frank Smith, Pierre Delecto. I'm just telling you, I don't know anything. I haven't heard anything. I'm just telling you, something is going to come out here. Uh-huh. I can smell it. Something is going to come out about Mitt Romney's online behavior. Keep an eye on this. We have not heard the last of Pierre Delecto.
Oh, my gosh. Can you imagine?
Think about that name.
Mr. Mormon?
Well, Mr. Mormon, he's the Mormon Anthony Weiner. He's kind of a, it's not going to be as bad as Matt Lauer, but there's something here. This name, Pierre Delecto, says a lot. Look at Mitt Romney. If he were checking into a hotel under a phony name, you think he would use Pierre Delecto? No, it sounds too weird.
Right.
So this was his secret online name. I'm just telling you, something is coming here.
Wow.
I'd say in the next couple of weeks, we'd like to learn a little about Pierre Delecto.
It shouldn't be hard to follow some of those tweets, right?
Well, we don't know. We have to wait for somebody to come forward and say, I was talking to this Pierre Delecto. Look at this. Hopefully somebody saved something. It could be another Matt Lauer. It's not Matt Lauer. It could be like a very mild Anthony Weiner situation, I would imagine. Did you ever read the letter Matt Lauer wrote?
Yeah.
I just started reading it. I hate to get graphic here. What the hell was this guy thinking writing all this stuff?
Yeah. Well, he's trying to justify it.
Okay, so you say, this woman says she was raped in this hotel room. So if you're trying to justify it, you write the letter and you say she did come to my hotel room. We did engage in sex, but it was consensual. Wouldn't you say that?
Yeah.
Okay, so why does he write this? The affair began when she came to my hotel room very late one night. Now, why would you even throw in very late? That already makes it sound suspicious.
Well, she came. It was late. And
well, if you said, stop by my hotel room at 7 o'clock tonight, that doesn't sound too bad. When you say, stop by my hotel room at 11:30, you kind of know what's in store at 11:30.
Well, vice versa. I would think the woman going to a male hotel room in the middle of the night, you know, you're not going up there to watch the late show.
I understand. But if it's 7 o'clock, you could say, well, I was going to be going to dinner. Yeah, he was about to stop by for a drink before we went to 11:30. You know what's, you know, when you get that little text ding, well, you probably don't.
No.
At midnight, you know what that is.
Okay, well.
So.
Still waiting for it.
Okay, so he says, very late at night. Now listen to this. If you got your children there, have them cover your ears because they're probably heard this. You haven't. So. We performed oral sex on each other.
Okay.
Okay, why did we need to know that?
I don't know.
All right. We then had vaginal sex.
Okay.
All right. You think the oral sex on each other, maybe you take a break, watch TV, watch Tucker for a while. Mm-hmm. Then, nope. And he says, then we had anal sex. This is a guy who making too many trips to the buffet here, if you know.
God bless him.
I mean, the first two weren't enough. This guy's got a problem.
Yeah.
This is a lot of stuff for somebody. This is a great first date for somebody. So why would he write this, though? His kids are going to read this. His wife is going to read this. Why would you write that?
Can he be any more humiliated?
Yes. That's pretty bad. The only thing I can think, he's trying to like appeal to potential dates at the, look how good I am, and look what goes on. And so I don't know why, unless he just thought, I'll be so graphic that it'll make me seem like I'm totally transparent. But that's a little too transparent. It's a little too much information.
Exactly.
You have a feeling when the truth about Pierre Delecto comes out, it's going to be nothing like that. It's going to be very mild compared to that. So, hey, this Tulsi Gabbard, you see they keep track of who people are searching on Google.
Mm-hmm.
She went right up to number one there, Tulsi Gabbard. This Hillary Clinton attack has really helped her out.
Yeah.
With the everybody's a Russian spy, according to Hillary Clinton. Who else did she call somebody else a Russian asset?
I don't know. I remember the Tulsi. I don't know who else she lumped into there.
You know, for all these Russian assets, Russia doesn't seem to be getting anywhere. They're getting screwed up left and right. Their oil prices have been screwed up by the president. Hey, we'll get to we got two IG reports coming and a special counsel and the president, I think, will start some investigations at some point. Obama's Netflix deal will get investigated, and a lot of stuff. We'll get to that coming up. And Michael Goodwin will be with us in a few moments. Hey, check out the webpage. This clip is from 30 years ago. You remember Johnny Carson, of course, was the greatest late-night host ever, The Tonight Show. This is 30 years ago. Watch him, and this is just a clip from his monologue where he's making fun of what a liar and how sleazy Joe Biden is. 30 years ago, they knew he was a bad guy. Hey, also, watch this. This is Tulsi versus Hillary. Watch them battle each other in this video. Oh, also, look at this. It's 1999. Little Dan Rather is the anchor man of the CBS Evening News, and he does a piece on how wonderful Donald Trump is and how he might run for president. This is 1999, 20 years ago. Take a look at this. It's all up on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.
This is Mark Simone.
710WOR.
Hey, we'll take some calls. 800-321-0710 is the number. All right, we have the answer. Why Matt Lauer wrote such a graphic letter detailing the sex in way too much detail. One of our top experts has weighed in, and it makes sense. The reason he wrote that in the letter is to scare off any new accusers. There are, you know, this whole story with this woman in the hotel room, there's probably dozens and dozens and dozens of them. He's worried about other ones coming forward, and he's letting them know, you come forward, I will reveal everything we did. Now, remember, in this case, it was 5 years ago. Some of them were 10 years ago. So all these women have moved on. They're married. They got kids, or they got boyfriends, or they're in a relationship, or they're working somewhere. So he's letting them know, you come forward, I will reveal to your kids everything you did. Every position we were in, everything. So that's probably what it is. Scare off any future accusers. Let's go to Ernest in Clinton, New Jersey. Oh, God, what a name for a town. Clinton, New Jersey. Ernest, how you doing?
Hey, good morning. Yeah, that story with that email address, I don't think that's the reason why he's going to put that story out there. I think it's going to backfire on him. If he's got any dirt, they're gonna come back. It's going to haunt them.
Really, okay, that's great. But give us a clue. Who are you talking about?
Matt Lauer.
Oh, Matt Lauer, yeah. But I can see how it would scare off some potential accusers who just don't want to be known for doing this backwards, forwards with Matt Lauer in some hotel room at midnight. Might scare off some accusers. Let's go to Glenn in Hillside, New Jersey. Glenn?
Yeah, two comments. First, on the Pierre Delicto, I think what he's maybe doing is a play on the legal Latin term peri delicto, which means equal wrongdoers. And the second thing...
I don't know. Romney doesn't look like the speak Latin type, you know?
He's an attorney, isn't he?
Is he an attorney? I don't think he is. I think he's an MBA business.
All right. And the second is that I think, yeah, it's totally unfair that... that Donald Trump should be taking a hit on this. Terrible that he's taking a loss. So I think he should try to recoup, you know, his losses and resign now.
Okay, great plan. We'll pass it along to him. I'm sure he'll jump on that. Let's go to William in Westchester. Hey, William.
Good morning, Mark. How Trump says that even if he finds a cure for cancer, they're going to find a way to attack him?
Yes.
Now, same idea. By not holding the G8 at Doral, there's a way of attacking him. Simply because by having the G8, he'd have to shut the place down for maybe a week or so for events before and after. That way, by not having the G8, he's going to get revenue from it. So he's going to make money by not having the G8 at Loretta.
Well, yeah, and he's not going to have it. Now, from what I hear behind the scenes, he was told by a lot of people he can't have it there anyway. You know, he just made the decision. But when they explained to him, and he said, oh, it's great, it's right next to the airport. You have to shut down air traffic over the G7. So that, I think you kind of have to explain to them, Miami International Airport, you can't shut that. You'd have to shut down the whole airport. It's literally about 300 feet from the Doral. You can't shut down the whole airport. It's impossible. Also, if you see where the Doral is, it's in a kind of an urban area. These G7s are always somewhere where you can shut down the set. But where this is, it's surrounded by enormous corporate office buildings. You'd have to shut down streets. How would these people get to work? I mean, you'd knock out a major international airport, a lot of businesses.
That still would have been great.
Yeah, it would have been great, except for I don't think he understood about having to shut everything down. Let's go to Deborah in Teaneck. Hey, Deborah.
Yes, hi. My take on that, why he's doing that, is so the girl can't say she was raped. That is not rape. Same thing with Harvey Weinstein. The girl went back 3 times and she claimed she was raped. That's why he's saying this. Then she can't say that. Do you understand?
Yeah, that could be.
That is the reason.
Because, well, you read the letter. She can't say she's raped, but she could say, boy, am I tired. That's a lot of work for this guy.
You went in the room. You went in. You walked in. And the same thing with Harvey Weinstein. She went back 3 times and she was raped 3 times. Not buying it.
Well, but with Harvey Weinstein, you know, he grabbed my head, he did this, and it's over. This guy, we did this, then we did this, then we did this, then we did this, and then we did that. You'd think this woman by 2 a.m. would say, I got to get some sleep. This is enough. Quite an active guy, isn't he?
Quite an active guy. Now, you know, if she claims it was rape.
Well, I don't know. I mean, who would you believe?
Hey, listen, well, I don't know.
She's not the only rape accusation. There's the other one who... in his office, and the kind of the same thing, you know.
That's right, same thing.
She passed out and had to be dragged by an assistant, literally dragged to the nurse's office. So let's go to Daisy in New Jersey. Hey, Daisy.
Hey, how are you, Mark? Good morning. Quick question. If he gets impeached, can he run again for 2020?
Well, if he gets convicted, no, but I don't think convicted, although with these Republicans, who knows? But, you can run while you're impeached.
So he could run in 2020, possibly.
There's a constitutional expert that looked into that, and he can, but the impeachment, you're just removed from office.
But you could run again.
It depends on the type of impeachment. If they vote again, that you are never to hold office again.
Oh, okay. That's good. Hey, Daisy.
Would they get that?
Daisy, you're a woman. You're a woman, right?
Yeah.
Okay, if you met a guy, let's say you're online, you meet a guy, and on Facebook or something, and you said, what's your name? And he said, I'm Pierre Delecto. Wouldn't you run? Wouldn't you say something's wrong?
I run very, very fast.
I'm just telling you, there's something going on with this Romney. If you said, what's your name? Pierre Delecto. You'd say, something is wrong. This guy's up to something. Hey, when we come back, Michael Goodwin will be with us. We'll see what he has to say about all of this coming up on 710 WOR.
Can't hear the whole show live? Get the rest with Mark Simone on demand. Get his podcast at 710WOR.com/Mark.
Mr. New York, Mark Simone.
On 710 WOR.
Well, Michael Goodwin, the best columnist in America. You can read his column every Sunday, every Wednesday in the New York Post. And he's usually with us every Monday, but today, Tuesday. Michael Goodwin, how you doing?
Good morning, Mark. Thank you.
Hey, interesting column on Sunday, but you said it's time for Michael Bloomberg. I just don't think he plays outside of New York City. He's too Thurston Howell III. He's too pompous. He's...
There are lots of reasons why I myself, along with you, would have problems with his candidacy. I mean, some of the, you know, the trying to force people what they can buy to drink, and he obviously is totally committed to abortion. I've never seen any sense that there were any restraints in his abortion support. And gun control, he's pretty much a total come and get your guns kind of guy. Nonetheless, Mark, I think that we would all agree that despite some things about his mayoralty, it was a big success. And when you look at the Democratic field right now, Joe Biden, it's really a two-person race. It's Joe Biden and Elizabeth Warren. And I think one of them is going to be the nominee, and I don't think it's Joe Biden. He needs to get out of the way so that somebody can come in and make a comprehensive and credible argument against Warren's nutty ideas. I mean, just the idea of taking away private health insurance from 160 million people, that's insane. Think of the turmoil that would cause in so many people's lives, not to mention the health care that would obviously decline as a result.
Yeah.
But Biden can't get two sentences out before he veers into gibberish.
Yeah.
And I think the questions about him are legitimate. I think the issue with his son is not going to go away. I mean, do you think Donald Trump is done with that issue?
No, and there's more to come on that son.
Absolutely. I think there's more. There's a lot we don't know about how he got these jobs. I mean, I think just that little report last week, that somebody in the State Department raised this issue with Biden as vice president, and he was blown off. So the idea that Biden didn't know anything, never had a conversation with his son, that's not credible.
Yeah.
That simply can't be the case. So I think Biden is not there. And if Biden's not there, then it's really Warren or Sanders. But I don't think Sanders has a real shot. So it's Warren. Warren's going to be the nominee. And Michael Bloomberg would be better than Warren.
Well, I'd be better than Warren. Anybody'd be better than Warren.
But if you want to run, go right ahead.
No,
but I don't think you have $1 billion to spend on this race.
No, thanks.
Michael Bloomberg does.
Yeah. Hey, Michael Goodwin, did you come up with a topic for tomorrow yet?
I have not, no.
Okay, let me give you a suggestion.
All right, go right ahead.
This Rikers Island move the prison is maybe the biggest act of municipal corruption ever in history. You got a perfectly good prison. It's on an island. You couldn't have a more ideal location.
It's Alcatraz. It's our little Alcatraz.
Yeah, but clearly some developer wants that island, so they're going to move it off, create four. I'm watching Corey Johnson this morning, and the reporter says, well, do you have $9 billion to build these prisons? Oh, yeah, it's in the budget. What happened to we're out of money for infrastructure? Suddenly they got $9 billion for a boondoggle project?
Well, it's going to be obviously borrowed money, which is going to drive up the interest rates. I mean, the city's already got a massive debt load. But look, I think you're probably right, and I actually did write that it was a curious decision. There's already talk about, you know, what kind of development would go there, and de Blasio himself has mentioned that. But I think the larger issue, Mark, is just we're not going to have the capacity or the intent to lock up serious criminals. I mean, this idea that you can have sort of a friendly green jail in every neighborhood who keep the, I mean, it's like Andy from Mayberry, you know, you got the town drunk and he sleeps it off and he wakes up in the morning and you say goodbye and you'll see him again soon. That's not the kind of criminal we're dealing with. I mean, they've decriminalized so many things so that, you know, all that broken window stuff is gone. But so the people who are in there now have violent rap sheets, numerous violent rap sheets. And the idea that somehow these people can just sort of coexist, I mean, it is in keeping with all of the far-left ideas that there are no such things as bad people, only bad white people, only bad people with money, only bad people with power. That this mass incarceration was some great mistake, some great form of racism. In fact, look at the crime rates before the incarceration rates went up, and look at them afterward. It is impossible to conclude that the incarceration of so many people who did serious crimes, that did not make America and particularly New York safer. Were there mistakes? Of course, there are always going to be mistakes. But you don't throw all of these ideas out because of some mistakes and because some politicians have now decided that it was all a mistake. It was not all a mistake. It helped save lives, innocent lives, many of them in non-white neighborhoods. That was the great value of cracking down on crime. And now it's all being revised historically as a mistake. We are making a great mistake now.
Yeah, but it's not a mistake. This is out-and-out corruption. Everybody is getting bought off on this deal. And they love the idea of having $9 billion to spend to give out to donors and lobbyists and unions. And somebody's got to stop this. Is there any legal way to stop this now?
Well, I think there may be legal ways, but and we haven't heard anything from the governor.
I assume he's in on it, whatever it is.
Well, yeah, I guess. But look, I think this idea that you're going to build at least four jails, one in each borough, is going to get a lot of pushback. It's going to be not in my neighborhood, not in my backyard, in the best sense of the word. These are legitimate concerns about public safety. But look, you and I have talked before, Mark, about New York's population. How do you describe or understand a population that reelected Bill de Blasio in 2017 after that first term? How do you explain his massive reelection? I mean, this is what to me is the scariest thing. It's not just that we have bad politicians, it's that they keep winning reelection, which means our citizenry is not paying very close attention and basically giving them a pass on what I would regard as superficial characteristics, their race, whether they touch all the right bases in terms of political correctness and things like that. They're not really looking at the impact of these programs. If it weren't for the national economy, New York City would already be in a recession if it were just up to the local politicians in terms of the regulations and other costs that they impose on businesses. But look, if people are going to keep reelecting them, I don't know that there's much we can do. We certainly can't prosecute our way out of this. The prosecutors now don't seem to have much interest in local crime. Cyrus Vance never finds anybody to prosecute.
Donald Trump.
Yeah, that's right. He's got his whole office. And same with Letitia James. The whole office is focused on the President of the United States. I mean, this is madness. But these are the politicians our fellow New Yorkers keep electing.
Well, Michael Goodwin, always great talking to you. We'll be looking forward to tomorrow. You can read Michael Goodwin's column tomorrow in the New York Post every Sunday, every Wednesday. They're all online if you want to read them. Michael Goodwin, thanks for being with us.
My pleasure, Mark. Thank you.
Take care. Check this out. Here's a great video. It's up on the webpage today. It's Tulsi versus Hillary. Watch the two of them battle each other. Also, take a look at this. This is the great Johnny Carson, the biggest, best late night host ever. This is a clip from 30 years ago where he makes fun of Biden and his lying and his corruption. 30 years ago that everybody was on to him. Also take a look at this. It's 1999. Dan Rather's the anchor of the CBS Evening News, and he does a big piece promoting Donald Trump running for president. This is 20 years ago. Take a look at it. It's all on the webpage. Go to 710WOR.com/Mark. 710WOR.com/Mark.